Hey, what's going on, Clipper companions? It's me, nice. Wayne, the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Wachler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
We're still bringing Clippers news 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
And today, best day of the week, if you ask me, it's Twitter Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a good one. They've been so good the past couple weeks. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions.
Yeah, absolutely. If you'd like an opportunity to get your question featured on the show, go ahead, shoot those over to @LockedOnClips. You can also hit up @WillUpdike or @CharlesMachler. We're here for you anytime.
Yeah.
But thank you so much to everybody who sent those in ahead of time. Some really good stuff in there. And then hot scoop from Locked On Network family member Jeff G. Spurs Zone. Excellent yes. follow if you haven't checked him out yet. He's got a scoop on a possible draft prospect that the Clippers and some other contenders have had contact with.
Yeah, big deal. Big deal.
Definitely. And then in Shavians, it's confirmed that Dan Craig is going to be added to the Clippers staff as an assistant
coach. We got him. Yes.
Along with Kenny Atkinson. It's really rounding out into a pretty interesting coaching personnel. A lot of experience on that bench. So we're going to talk about that, as well as Pat Bev's vacation, and whether or not a certain beloved comic book franchise is vintage.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, yes, welcome to Twitter Tuesday. Thank you for sending in questions. Like Will said, @LockedOnClips. You can always send them in there. Let's get right into it. Chenny John, noted listener, always saying what's up. We appreciate the questions. Asked, would you rather see an upgrade at the starting point guard and move Pat Bev to the bench, or upgrade the backup point and keep Pat Bev as a starter with shorter minutes? That's a good question. I like the second option. I like upgrade the backup point and keep Bev as a starter with shorter minutes.
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, we're able to figure it out so we don't need a new starting point.
It seems like we'd have to give up so much to would be that much better for what the system might be. I think there's a lot of question marks, I guess, is why I kind of want to keep Pat Bev as a starter because of continuity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I still, you know, I still have hope that, you know, he can be that starting point guard, even if they do end up shortening that rotation a little bit.
Yeah.
We just didn't ever get a long enough stretch with all these guys fully healthy to see how it was going to work out. And I mean, I know we've talked about this before, and I still think that Kawhi is a capable ball handler. I think George is in line to take another step and sort of get back to where he was off the dribble. I
96, hope. 96 tour, bro.
I hope. But if not, yeah, I still see him in the starting rotation. And then, yeah, you can move him out and move, I don't know, Reggie in or...
Yeah, it's just getting a backup just does seem easier like that. And I think the path of least resistance is maybe where the Clippers might go with that, because we still got to shore up some free agents, right?
Yeah, unless we end up grabbing a guard in free agency, who I would still see coming off the bench... filling in for Pat Bev in that rotation. You know, if we were to be able to get like Goran or Jeff Teague or something.
I think Goran's heat for life from this point, but.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not going anywhere, but.
Robert Yamagata asks, kind of talking young point guards. He said, what do you think about the possibility of like getting young guard D'Anthony Melton, good defensive guard the Clippers need?
I don't know.
D'Anthony Melton.
Do you? Okay. Yeah, sell me D'Anthony Melton.
So I'm really high on him. He passes the eye test pretty well, but I saw a Grizzly blog saying that they'd give him 4 for 42, and that doesn't
4 for 42.
Yeah. And that doesn't seem feasible or worth it considering the timeline for like a chip.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. I like the idea of maybe having some more youth at the position.
Yeah. But you have Man, so I feel like maybe that young of a guard might not be in the cards, right?
Yeah.
Because that kind of log jams.
You mean as young as a Melton?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He's 22.
Yeah. Definitely not for 10 mil a year. I'm saying that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The splits are not music to my eyes or ears.
28% from three is not very good. But when he plays, he has that bounce. He's one of those players where you watch and you're like, this person, they could figure this out. If they figure it out, they'll be really good.
Yeah. He's been a net negative player both years in the league.
He's on bad teams.
Memphis is not a bad team. Memphis is a playoff team. Phoenix looks like they got it figured out over there. So,
yeah. All right. Well, I just think the money would be too much based on that one blog that I skimmed. So, but you know, I like the idea of the young guard. But yeah, I just think Terrence is in the way.
I love the idea of a young guard, Robert Yamagata. If there's somebody out there that we could train into the position that seems like less of a project than man, I would be super open to the idea because we still got to keep some amount of youth on this team. If for nothing else than to bring the average age down, because we are the third oldest team in the league.
We need those young legs. M_Bilal35 with a heater. First time this has been brought up. Do you think the Clippers should extend PG now? On one hand, it might give Kawhi confidence in the team, but it could also mean that if he leaves, we are stuck with an aging PG as the best player. And I don't know if that's good enough to make the playoffs in an increasingly tough West.
So, you know, I had never really entertained this possibility.
Never even crossed my mind, and I mean that in a nice way.
I think that it's worth it if you offer the extension because you can get him for a lower price than when he's gets the 10-year vet kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know that he would take it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think you could extend an offer and you'd be, you know, you could conceivably get him at a cheaper price if that does end up happening. And, you know, I don't know. I still don't know about I can't think right now about the Kawhi flight situation.
I just can't deal with it.
Let's just not even talk about that. That's a problem for tomorrow, Will.
The idea of extending is super interesting, though. I mean, yes. You'd have to do some pretty long-term projections, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it would be seen as a panic move either. And I don't know how you present it to him because there's still a lot left to be proven, I think.
From Paul George.
Yeah, for the Clippers to commit that much.
Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely fair.
Like there's one giant step we basically have to take for that to maybe seem worth it.
Yeah.
But hey, we get that 96 tour. Clippers Champs 2021 asked, do you think Kawhi will load manage as much as he did last year?
Yes. I think that this has become like a misconception for a lot of people outside of like the Clippers sphere. He really only managed back-to-backs.
It literally was that.
And it felt like a lot, definitely at points of the season, just because we had all
in
our
the beginning.
We had our back-to-backs kind of front-loaded. And then we would have had more towards the end of the season. I believe we were bookended.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly. So I think that, yes, he will load manage the exact same amount. And I don't like, we got to come up with a better word than this. I even think something as simple as like, you know, back-to-back injury prevention.
Rest was acceptable because rest, I think, is perfect.
I think rest on it like should be a legitimate reason on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
For your best player. I mean, isn't that why teams have rosters of 15? Because everybody doesn't have to play every single night.
Got
to
use them. You got to use them. At @DWP_LAC, apparently very big fan of the Department of Water and Power and the Clippers. How should the Clippers manage the trade-off between developing young players like Fee and Mann and playoff seeding, i.e., would you prefer they play them more and risk a 3-4-5 seed or play them less and fight for a 1-2 seed? Great question.
Wow. I mean, this is an incredible question. This is a real Sophie's choice. Look, assuming that there is going to be actual home court advantage next year, I'm going to say what I said last year, which is that seeding doesn't matter.
I bet they do bubble again, though.
You think they do playoffs in a bubble again?
Yeah, I bet they will. Just seems,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard, but depending, you know, based on how things are going.
I just think because of commerce that they're not going to.
Commerce, of course.
So
I think 3-4-5 is fine.
I think 3-4 is fine.
But the West is crazy good. So I don't know how that, like Bilal said, you know, it's going to be a harder West next year. The Warriors are back to some extent. Like,
Yeah, but that to me, like, I guess ties into your thing of like, does seeding even matter at that point? I mean, you're facing a murderer's row, whichever route you take.
Just so, what would be the lowest seed that you'd be bummed with?
I mean, I wouldn't like to go lower than four. But once again, like, if this is a bubble situation playoffs, I'm even willing to let that slide. I don't know. I do think that we have to strike some sort of balance to shake out some players.
Yeah.
I guess I'm more concerned with like what's going to be the health factor of the main guys. Cause that to me is like more important than even developing the young guys. It's like whatever we have to do to keep everybody healthy. And if that means that young guys end up playing some more minutes, and we see that seed slip a little bit, I mean, that is what it is. That's fine. We still, you know, weren't able to hit the finish line this year, like with everybody fully healthy and intact.
Yeah.
So whatever it takes to do that next year, I'm kind of willing to do that. And it would be good for the development of the young guys.
Yeah. Final question. This one's a fun one. Luca E23, which duo would you prefer? Lou as a coach and the player Doc Rivers on the starting five, or Doc as a coach and the player Lou on the starting five?
Ooh.
Based on need, I got to go player Lou because he's a point guard.
Yes.
Or yeah, a guard of some kind. I don't think Doc's shooting gets him in this rotation. No disrespect to basketball Doc.
I guess I'd be inclined to agree. It'd be funny too if Lou, I mean, in this scenario, does he still have a ring with the Lakers?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty interesting dichotomy too. You know, he wants to come over to the other side, see what that life is like.
Yeah, see what's going on. I mean, no, I think player Lou would really help this team out. you know, didn't take a lot of threes because that wasn't the style back then, but shot, you know, 40% as a player. That's not bad. Assists, you know, need to get a little higher, but I think we'd be good with player Lou.
I think we can make it work.
That wraps up Twitter Tuesday. Thank you everyone again for all the questions. You can send those in to @LockedOnClips. Coming up, we're going to be talking a Jordan Bowden profile, but first, Will, talk to me about these auto parts I keep hearing kids talk about.
All right, so auto parts are great. I mean, they're essential for any automobile.
That's
true. The difficulty can be in sourcing them, but RockAuto.com has made it incredibly easy to find parts. I trust them with my life because they're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com right now to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Great thing about RockAuto is whether it's for your classic car that you're rebuilding or a daily driver, maybe a freaky four-wheeled motorcycle.
Ooh.
You can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand, specifications, and even the prices that you prefer. Speaking of prices, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers and tinkerers and mad scientists. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
RockAuto. Okay, welcome to the Jordan Bowden profile. Per at Jeff G, host of Locked On Spurs, he said sources told him that the Clippers and a couple other contenders have had contact with Tennessee Volunteers guard Jordan Bowden ahead of this year's NBA draft. This man was not on our radar in the random late picks we have been profiling. Shout out to Jeff G for the scoop. Also, Locked On Spurs, very good Locked On show if you want to give that a listen. The other teams who spoke with them are, it's all contenders. It's Clippers, 76ers, depending on what your definition of a contender is, Bucks, and Celtics. That's pretty, you know, that's a pretty nice tier to be discussed with if you're a second round pick, right?
Yeah, definitely. You'd be psyched.
So they're showing that there's something there. And, you know, you got the Celtics who are a pretty good read of young talent historically recently, right? 76ers, you know, picked Sham out of the lineup. This is some good, you know, buzz, I guess. Some notes on Mr. Bowden. Only one of four Vols to ever total 1,000-plus points, 450 rebounds and 250 assists. He's a major work ethic guy, apparently, which the Clippers like. He's a multi-year guy. He played 4 years for the Vols. But the career averages don't exactly jump out at you. He averaged 10 points, three boards, two assists in his 4 years. So he kind of does a little of everything, but just a little, right? Like, there's nothing too crazy on these. And his three-point shooting was really good in the middle of his career. His sophomore, junior year, he shot 39.5% as a sophomore and 37.8% from three. Senior year, no one really knows what happened. It plummeted to 28%.
Got you. Was there anything goofy in the attempts?
I didn't. So the attempts went up. I mean, they went from four a game, sophomore and junior, to 5.5. So
not like that crazy, though.
Yeah, you're not. He's not having to take a bunch. And I didn't, you know, I'm not super briefed on the Volunteers coach situation, but I can't imagine they have a rotating door, right? Like, I don't think the scheme changed or anything like that. Form-wise, though, he's an 80% free throw shooter, so I feel like the form is there, right? But
oh yeah, for sure.
It seems like something they could work with. He kind of fits this like project thing that we've been having to do with our draft picks, which like we've kind of talked about Motley with Carl about how like we have these guys who like kind of the pieces are kind of there, but no one's really developing them.
Yeah.
So they just kind of hang out in the G League. So I wonder if with the new kind of coaching regime, if we're actually going to see one of these kind of players develop, because this guy's an obvious project.
Definitely. I mean, it's interesting. You know, would you see a scenario where he is filling minutes in a backcourt like next to Terrence Mann, or you think that he would usurp him?
I think Terrence Mann, just because of experience, probably has this guy beat out.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, the pros on this guy: decent defensive player, can score pretty well off the dribble, adequate mid-range shooter. Cons: lacks an elite first step off the dribble, shot selection issues, and needs to improve his rebounding. So it seems like there's some things, and I've watched some tape and like the highlights look good, right? But I just feel like there's some things that he'd really have to work on in the G League, which is fine. You know, we've talked about kind of wanting guys to get more runs somewhere, but yeah, I don't know. I also don't really know how to gauge 57th pick talent. I feel like the guys we've talked about before are maybe a little bit better than this, who might not fall to 57, right? Like,
yeah, what you're saying is Bowden is the next Ginobili.
Yeah, he could be the next one. And like pick wise Philly has three picks. Well, they have four picks in the second round total. They have three ahead of us in the second round. Boston has a pick at 47, and the Bucks have no second round picks, so he might not be there for us. I don't know if he gets taken at 47, but then again, I don't really understand the difference between a number 47 player and a number 57 player. And that's not disrespectful to the players. I feel like it's kind of like, it's such a crapshoot. If anything, if he's not there for us, would you take him at 57?
If he was there?
Yes. Based on this immediate, very quick introduction to him.
So it's tantalizing to me. I think looking at our history, at least from the past couple of years, we've failed to develop anybody at the center position. I would say three fairly solid prospects.
Yeah, Angel Delgado beasted.
Yeah, going from the G League into our system, which, you know, it's fine. It's a hard position. It is, you know, somewhat dependent on your actual physical dimensions.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't ever seen an elite wing developed. Certainly through 17-18, we were not really able to develop a guard. But hey, I'm ready to get hurt again. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, right. Like, it's just kind of like that. Yeah, cool. This seems good. I like the experience. He's got the 4 years at Tennessee. Like, you know, the work ethic is nice. I think that's something you definitely look for with a later round player for sure.
Definitely.
But yeah, how do we feel about like, because I'm not even sure if we should target actual need in this late in the draft, right? Like,
I mean, I don't even know that you can.
Yeah, like, are we going to, like when we're looking at point guards, it's like, these would be great, but also how much contributing would they actually do? We don't even know what the offense looks like, right? So there's so many questions.
Yeah, but I do think like taking a guard is an interesting prospect. Toss them in the G League, see what they can do there. Mm-hmm. And then go. I mean, we did have success with like Derek Walton. I mean, Amir Coffey is coming along, so.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Coffey too much. Do we think he's going to see some more run? He got a surprising amount of run last year, I think everyone would say. Not to discredit Coffey, but I think it's, the amount of playing time he got was very surprising.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's like, it's going to be really Ty Lue dependent. I'm not sure what he's going to value in those sort of, in those guard rotations. I'm curious to see. I mean, because obviously he's been around all these guys. I'm curious to see like how he's been evaluating them.
Yeah, being in the bubble's big for Coffey getting more minutes. He's just, yeah. You're right. He's just truly just been around so much more. Same with Terrence Mann. And it kind of hurts Fee's development.
Oh, 100%. I mean, he wasn't with the team through that time. And, you know, it's like a pressure cooker where you really get to see, you know, what guys are kind of made of in a pretty short amount of time. So, yeah, I mean, I would be willing to take a chance on another guard. It's a difficult path to development, especially if he's not going to be able to come in and be a spot up shooter, soak up some minutes like that.
Yeah, like make threes would be what this guy has to do in the G League and like summer league ball. Like it would be make threes, it seems like. That's why, you know, it's why we drafted Rome. This is obviously a very different situation, but you look at this guy's percentages and he'd be brought in to shoot threes.
Yeah. And I mean, if he can evolve the defense, I mean, like he can definitely, he can definitely make up for some of the deficiencies on the offensive end. Which, you know, does seem interesting. Hopefully Terrence will take a step in on the defensive end as well. But if he was a more competent defender, I could see that as being a path into possibly getting some rotation minutes.
Yeah, it's interesting. We wonder if we'll be looking further into his game after the NBA draft. Shout out to Jordan Bowden. Shout out to Jeff G. Spurs Zone for this.
One-on-one, Jerome Robinson versus Bowden. Who wins?
Probably Rome. He's got the NBA experience. And he's the second strongest player in the league behind Gallo. So there is that. Coming up after this, we got a whole mess of stuff to talk about in Shavings, including brand new assistant coach Dan Craig.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings. I think the biggest news in the Clippers sphere today is that Dan Craig will be moving to the Clippers as an assistant coach.
He was confirmed, finally.
Yes, he was offered more money, which, you know, makes sense.
That tweet is so great.
We got those deep pockets over here. And he's also hoping that it's going to be an opportunity to sort of create more contacts and hopefully kind of pave a way for him to get a head coaching job somewhere eventually.
Eventually, I like there. I'm like, so how long is he going to be our assistant coach for? Because if we could get more than 1 year of Dan Craig as the assistant coach with Ty Lue, that'd be fantastic.
I mean, I guess it all just depends on how many people get fired this year.
That's true. So, yeah, this like the Clippers assistant coaching roster is possibly really, really good. Like maybe one of the more quote unquote stacked on paper like assistant coaching.
I mean, you have another head coach on the on the bench as well as Dan Craig, who has been interviewed for head coaching positions.
Is Atkinson confirmed yet?
Oh, I thought that he was confirmed.
I'm not sure if he's confirmed yet, but he seems to be in the running definitely. So the assistant roster, or the assistant coaching roster is really good. Does this help ease the idea of maybe / probably losing Sam Cassell and Rex Kalamian?
Yes, I think so.
Harsh but fair.
I think that that's, you know, like it's a bummer. I do think that I wonder how the exit interviews were, because I do think that there is legitimacy to questioning, especially in the playoffs, some of the defensive schemes that the Clippers were running. I know that we're pretty quick to put a lot of that blame on Doc because there were some issues there. Yeah. But there were some issues with the switching and the scheme and some of the trapping situations with Jokic, like an elite passer, that were highly questionable. And I do think that merits a look at your defensive personnel and at the assistant coaching staff. Yeah. And you know, anytime you bring in a new guy, you gotta let them dictate who they're gonna have on the bench with them. That should be their decision. And I would be really bummed to see Sam Cassell go. I think he's a great dude, and I think that he's a great asset, especially, you know, if you're looking for someone for player development. But I mean, ultimately it's Ty Lue's call, and if he wants to bring in his dudes and people that he has a previous relationship with, or you know, whatever it is that makes him feel confident taking the advice and having these people on his bench, I think is ultimately positive.
Yeah. And I mean, it really just is such a stacked line. We got Chauncey too. Like, it's nice. The way he's going to delegate power seems like it's going to work pretty well. Hopefully, I say that, of course, in late October before the season. We have a bonus Twitter Tuesday question from @RedondoMike. He wants to know if Ty brings back any of Doc's former assistant coaches, or do any of them follow Doc to Philly? Do we think maybe we see Sam Cassell in Philly? Probably not, would be my best guess.
I don't know, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
Isn't Sam Cassell working with Ben Simmons interesting? I think it's interesting.
Oh, that would be a really good call. I don't think they take Rex Kalamian, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the Philly assistant coaching situation. I would imagine actually I don't know what Doc's personal relationships are with this staff. Especially
well,
if
him
he's
and
never,
Sam are close. So like
especially if he's never listening to them.
Yeah, that's fair. Cassell, I could see getting asked by Doc maybe, which would be interesting. We'll have tabs on that when it comes up. Some quick Clippers players offseason notes. Patrick Beverley is in Cancun, which I have to say is an elite follow-through on being able to take the 1-2-3 Cancun jokes.
Hilarious.
Good on Pat Bev.
Love it.
That's fantastic.
Don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see him not taking himself too seriously, getting some time off after what transpired in the bubble, of course. I kind of like this, like, relaxed Pat Beverley we're kind of getting. I'm excited to see when he flips on the time to get locked in for the season Pat Beverley, though, also.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder, do you think that him and Ty will have conversations where it's like, dude, sometimes, like, just leave it on the court. You don't need to be this way in the locker room, my dog.
I don't think so. I don't think Tyler is going to tell Pat Bev to rein anything in. I hope he doesn't. I'm going to be bummed out if they were like, oh, yeah, Pat Bev and Tyler had a great talk.
Pat,
about
the thing is,
you're too intense.
You got to open with a joke.
Yeah. Pat Lou's like, you need to just work on your opener, dude. It'll be great.
None of your teammates work for The Athletic. Not everyone in the media works for The Athletic.
Yeah, we're not JP Athletic, son. And then finally, Montrezl Harrell, avid comic book fan, just like Patrick Patterson, who has so many comics, was comic book shopping and posted the first Captain Underpants books, which if you were an immature child like myself, and I think, Will, did you read those?
Yeah, not even immature. They came out when we were like in third or fourth grade.
I don't know.
That's what you're supposed to be reading when you're eight.
You're supposed to be reading leather-bound books. Posted the first Captain Underpants books with the hashtag vintage. And you know what? Anyone else who's listening to this who was around when those books first came out, that will make you feel a little old.
Yeah, does that qualify as, as vintage?
I think it might.
I mean, that's fair. That's pretty old at this point.
I'm trying to...
22 years old.
They're 22 years old?
Something like that, yeah.
They came out in 97.
23.
Yeah, man, that one kind of hurts. You got me, Trez. One of my favorite beloved books as children. But yeah, Trez also, I believe he was wearing a beanie, so Beanie Trez was still in full effect, which is good to see. Anything else in shavings? Anything else you want to get off our chest about the Clippers?
No, not about the Clippers. I was just thinking back. In fourth grade, the most popular books were definitely the Captain Underpants novels, or I don't know if you can call them novels. What do you call them?
I would refer to them as novels. Literature. In all circles, yeah.
Literature. And then the second most popular was A Child Called It, I'm pretty sure is
oh
what it was
God.
Called.
That's super. That book is terrifying.
For those listeners who don't know, it's a super depressing story about a child who is emotionally and physically abused.
It's horrible. But at a moment in time.
At one point, though, the kids were reading it way too young.
Yeah.
And I remember reading it and just saying, why?
What are we
why
doing? Why is this? It was a terrifying book. There's a horrible scene in particular that if you're listening to this and you've read that book, pops in your mind immediately. Let us know at Locked On Clips if you're a fan of A Child Called It or of Captain Underpants. Maybe we could do Locked On Child Called It. Talk about a chapter every day. All right, anything else other than good old creepy books?
No, that does it. Let's get out of here.
Wednesday's episode, we're going to have a What You Say Wednesday poll. So look out for that at Locked On Clips. I'll put that out early in the morning. Perhaps some more draft talk, maybe some more scoops from some fellow network hosts. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these people tell their friends to find us?
So you can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. Yep. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It definitely helps us out. If you like what we're doing over here, give us a rating or review. We'd super appreciate it. And hey, we'll probably read it on the show. So thanks so much. Keep rocking with us. We still got a lot of stuff to talk about. And, you know, can't wait to bring you this news.
Hell yeah. And I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.